So Manu, Buddha, Guru, and then we've got Terton. This is not a Sanskrit word as all the others were. This is a Tibetan word. Terton means a taker out of treasure. A taker out of treasure. Ter is treasure of what is hidden. Ton is one who takes, a treasure finder, if you like. So what is this treasure? Terma. The treasure is terma. That which has been hidden. Hidden by whom? And what has been hidden? Well, hidden by Padmasambhava. This is the Tibetan story. This is the Tibetan legend. This is, if you like, the Nyingmapa teaching. Padmasambhava taught in Tibet. Gave many instructions, as well as subduing the demons and the gods. But he foresaw a time when other teachings would be needed. Teachings which, if he gave them then, would have been misunderstood. So according to the tradition, he hides in different parts of Tibet, in fact in different parts of India too, he hides away treasures. Some are treasures of books, but others are other things, rather strange things, rather odd things. And also there's a chapter, a very interesting chapter in this Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava, which deals with the termas, these hidden or secret things. And apparently they're not just books, they're not just material objects. There are many kinds of them. You can have mind termas. You can have termas which are hidden in the depths of the mind. You can have termas of kings. You can have termas of males. You can have termas of females. You can have termas of hermaphrodites, etc., etc. So terma begins to mean something very strange and very mysterious. It isn't just a book tucked away in a cave, though it can also include books tucked away in caves. It's something rather different, more elusive, more general, if you like, than that. There are 18 kinds of termas, in fact, we are told. So anyway, whatever they are, Padmasambhava, this guru principle, if you like, this transforming and transfiguring principle, hides away teachings, catalysts, inspirations, if you like, in places, dimensions, where they can remain for hundreds, even thousands of years, until they are needed. And then they'll be taken out, and those who take them out are the Tertons, who are believed to be emanations of Padmasambhava himself. So this is what we're told. This is the tradition. This is the story. This is the Nyingmapa teaching. So what does it mean? Well, it means that even Padmasambhava cannot do all the work. The Buddha, as it were, proclaims the teaching in a more general sort of way. Padmasambhava causes it to penetrate into the depths of the psyche, causes it to transform, one might say, the archetypes of the collective unconscious. But even he can't do it once and for all. Situations change, circumstances change, teachings need to be adapted. So adapters are needed, New versions, as it were, of the teaching are needed, adapted to particular specific circumstances. And this is what the termas represent. They represent the transforming principle, as it were, adapted to very, very specific concrete circumstances right in the here and now. This is what the terton represents, the fourth of these sort of figures, along with the Manu, the Buddha and the Guru. The application of the transforming principle to particular circumstances, specific conditions, right here and now in the present. Inspirations, as it were, which come to us in the present, for our present guidance, in accordance with the general principles of the teaching, both in its visionary and also its transforming aspect. Now, we can go a little further than that. I was talking about Tarpa Nagpo, Black Salvation. And again, there's a very extraordinary chapter, a very extraordinary passage in the Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. Tarpa Nagpo is very big, he's very huge. He's many-sided, multidimensional. He doesn't just exist as an archetype in our collective unconscious. No, he's much more prominent, much more in evidence than that. As I suggested, he can also be regarded as this world itself. Certainly the world as we perceive it, the world as we experience it, it's a self-centered world. That's the sort of world that we're up against. That's the sort of world that we have to grapple with. I remember in this connection, this is to diverge or to digress a bit, but never mind, let me do that, and I'll come back to the point in a minute. Quite a few years ago, shortly after I started the DFWBO, a friend was driving me through the city of London. Now, I'd not been driven through the city of London before. I'd not even been to the city of London before. In terms of my return to England. I might have gone through the city when I was very, very young. If so, I don't remember it. So that was probably my first time, this drive through the city of London. When I say the city, I mean the city, with the capital C, where the stock exchange is and where all the banks are and all that sort of thing. So as we drove through, as this friend was driving me through, I just looked from side to side. Skyscraper to the right of me, skyscraper to the left of me, bank to the right of me, bank to the left of me, all these big ponderous buildings, all connected with money, all connected with finance, all connected with high finance, all connected with a certain kind of power. Money is power. So I said to this friend who was driving me, I said, referring to the FWBO, this is what we're up against. Because this is one of the demons. This money, this sort of form of power, which, as it were, has got out of control of the spiritual principle. So there are economic demons. There are social demons, sociological demons. There are political demons. There are even religious demons, what to speak of the odd philosophical demon, all of whom need to be brought under control. So we mustn't think of these demons as just sort of mythological things, you can read about in, sort of fairy story type books. It's all rather nice, but actually you never meet a demon. You're meeting demons all the time, of one kind and another. You're living in a world of demons. You're living in a society of demons. I mean, you yourself are half demons, which is a good thing, provided you can subdue your demon half or your demon two-thirds or 9/10 or whatever it is, or your dark inner half or whatever it is. But this is what, again, we're up against, and this is what we have to do. So it's not simply that we are even in the midst of demons. It's all a demon. The world is a demon. The god of the world, as it were, is a demon. And that is Tarpa Nagpo. So, this particular chapter says, and here we get back to what I was talking about, that where are the termas located? Where are these treasures located? They're hidden away in caves, yes. They're hidden away under stones, yes. But what does that mean? They're hidden in the body of Tarpa Nagpo. You've got one treasure hidden in his kidneys, another in his veins, another in his lungs, another in his foot. They're all hidden in the body of Tarpa Nagpo, black salvation. So what does this mean? Well, if we think of it carefully, and if we want just to express it in a few words, you find the remedy where you find the disease. The remedy is found in the depths of the disease itself. If you understand the disease, you arrive at the remedy. If you plunge deeply into the body, so to speak, of Tarpa Nagpo, you can take out the treasure. You don't have to go outside the world to find the transcendental. You go very deeply into it. You utilize it. You utilize all its forces, its energies. You integrate them with yourself. And that is your spiritual life. You dig deep within the body of Tarpa Nagpo himself, this sort of gigantic, festering, foul body. But that's where you will find the treasure. And that's as it were you anyway. So this is what is generally signified by this figure of the terton, or the terma, the treasure, and the taker out of the treasure.